Well, good evening. Praise the Lord. The message that the Lord laid on my heart is the glory of God. I kind of feel it's more for somebody more spiritual to share this, but anyway, this is what I've had on my heart. I did teach on some of this about 5 years ago here in the adult Sunday school. So if you've heard some of it before, forgive me, but I really, really strongly felt that I needed to share this tonight. And we know that the glory of God is the manifest presence of God. It's a weighty presence of the Lord that can cover, like a blanket, a whole entire gathering or an entire community. And this is what drew people to the Lord in the great revivals of the past. And it wasn't the great preaching that drew people. It was the presence of God, the glory of God. And in the revivals under Wesley and George Whitfield and others like that, the glory of God would be released as they preached, and people came under deep conviction of sin. And many of the meetings were, as we know, were held outdoors, and huge crowds came, and the people were advised not to climb up the trees, because when the glory of God came, they would fall off the branches. So they were told to stay on ground level. So great and powerful was the glory of God. Praise the Lord. We know Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what we want. We want to come back to experience the glory of God in greater ways. And we know that Adam and Eve were clothed with the glory of God, and God fellowshipped with them in the evening. He came down and spoke with them. And we know that when they sinned, they lost that covering of the beautiful glory of God, and they realized they were naked. And God's goal for his people is to bring his people back into his glory. And we know that the Lord has spoken the scripture from Isaiah 43, verse 19, to quite a number of people in our fellowship. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And we long for God's glory to come, don't we? His presence. And we want to be ready, and we want to allow the Lord to purify our hearts and our lives and cleanse us so that we can be partakers of his glory and be able to minister it to others. And the last day's church is going to be filled with the glory of God. Ephesians 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lord wants a purified church filled with his glory, and he will have it. He will have it. And in the coming days, as things get worse and the darkness increases, we know that his glory will increase upon his people as they are purified. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. And we know that in these days, gross darkness is covering the people. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. It will be visible to others. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And some have had visions of this glory on the faces of God's people. In the Old Testament, there were manifestations that were visible of the glory of God. We know the children of Israel were led by the glorious presence of God in the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, as they journeyed through the wilderness. That was the glory of God. His presence was with them, leading them, guiding them. It was a tangible thing that they saw. The glory was on Mount Sinai in the wilderness, as it burnt with fire and the children of Israel heard the audible voice of God speaking to them. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18, when Moses was called up to the top of Mount Sinai, he entreated the Lord. He said, "Lord, show me your glory." And then we know that the Lord passed before him and proclaimed his goodness, which is the glory of God. And when Moses came down, his face shone and glowed. And in Exodus 34, verses 30 and 33, he had to put a covering, a veil over his face, because his face shone with the glory of God. And the people could not look on his face. It was too bright. And so he had to cover his face. We know in the tabernacle of Moses, when the work of the tabernacle was finished, we read in Leviticus chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." And also at the dedication of Solomon's temple, after the priests had placed the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place, and they came out in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, "It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever,' that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The priests could not even stand to minister. They all fell down in the cloud of the glory of God's presence." How exciting, how wonderful to be there at that time. In the New Testament, when Jesus was born, the glory of the Lord shone round about the shepherds out in the field, and the angels appeared to them to tell them of Christ's birth. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." We know when the Lord Jesus Christ took Peter and John up to the mountain of transfiguration. He was transfigured, he was changed, and his face and even his clothes shone with the glory of God. Luke chapter 9, 28 and 29. "And it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion or the appearance of his face or countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glittering, radiant." What a wonderful experience. And Stephen, as at his trial before the council, he saw the glory of God. Acts chapter 7, verses 55. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." The Apostle Paul, as he was going along the road to Damascus to arrest Christians and put them in prison, the glory of the Lord shone round about him in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 5. "And he said in Acts 26, verse 13, 'I saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me.'" We've been watching some of the beautiful sunrises this last week. Absolutely beautiful. And when the sun comes up, you just cannot look at it. And Paul said that the glory of the Lord was above the brightness of the sun. It was so powerful, so strong. And we know the Apostle John saw the Lord Jesus Christ glorified in Revelation 1, verses 13 to 16. He said his eyes were as a flame of fire and his feet like brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His face, his countenance, was like the sun shining in its strength. And we know in the second coming, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, Jesus said, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." We know in 1905 to 1909, there was a wonderful revival in Azusa Street here in America. And the glory of God was manifested as a thick mist. Everybody could see it. And even the children would play hide and seek in that mist of the glory of God. And we know that many amazing miracles took place. Arms that were missing grew out. Legs that were missing grew out. Teeth that were missing grew. Incredible healings. Just when the glory of God came, just so many miraculous things happened. And it was absolutely amazing. And before I was married, I went to a little church in my area, my suburb. And God visited us. We didn't see the actual glory of God, but there was a move of God, and many of us were wonderfully baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And we had such a hunger for the glory of God's presence. We didn't see the glory, but we felt his amazing presence. And all we wanted to do was get together and pray. You know, we would have prayer meetings before the service. We would have prayer meetings after the service. We would have prayer meetings during the week. And God would be healing and touching our lives. And it was, we just lived and breathed and waited until we could get together in the presence of the Lord. The glory of his presence was so, so precious. And then after we were married, we're going to a church where Pastor Bailey used to come and minister to in New Zealand. And we had a move of God there, a wonderful move of God. The glory was not manifested, but again, it was the wonderful, glorious presence of the Lord. And David's younger brother came to church with us one Sunday night. Afterwards, he said, "Oh, tremendous electricity in this place tonight." We said, "Yes, it's the presence of the Lord." And even he wasn't really walking with the Lord, but he felt that tremendous presence. And people used to line up outside waiting for the doors to open. We had to move from the church to the main town hall, which had balconies and could contain quite a few thousand people. And we would all line up half an hour at least, because we all wanted to get the front seats, because the presence of the Lord was stronger in the front seats. I'm doing a little advertising here. If you want to feel the presence of God, come to the front. No distractions. You can't see anybody else talking or coming in and out. But anyway, we lined up, and as soon as those doors opened, we would run always down the stairs and into the main auditorium and try and get as close to the front as we could. And people came from all over the city. People from other churches, they came. And people from outside of the city, miles and miles away, they'd travel miles just to be on one of the services, because the glory, the presence of the Lord was there. Oh, it was wonderful. And then midweek we'd have prayer meetings, and there'd be hundreds of us, and we would all be praying in tongues, and the pastor would guide us, and we'd be doing spiritual warfare for the nation. And people were getting saved, and it was, oh, it was so exciting. Again, the prayer meetings, we just didn't want to miss anything, you know. Anytime the doors were going to be open, we wanted to be there. Because why? Because the Lord was there. And it was just such a mighty move of God. And we know that in the year 1995 to 2000, here in Pensacola, Florida, there was a wonderful outpouring of God's glorious presence in the church in Brownsville, Pensacola. And the pastor was Pastor John Kilpatrick. And he became the pastor of that church. And it was a mighty visitation of the glory of God. And people came from other nations to that, to those services. And they, and there was a mighty visitation of God's glorious presence. And when he, Pastor John Kilpatrick, was a teenager, he had an amazing experience in the church that he was going to. And he wrote it in a book, A Visitation of God's Glory. So I'll just read to you what he said about it. He was a teenager, and I put my glasses on so I can read the writing of my husband. His pastor was an elderly man called Pastor Wetzel, very godly elderly man. And about 40 years ago, I don't know what time this was written, in southern USA, there was a very difficult time in the church. There were race riots out in the streets. Things were being stolen, and it was a very dangerous time to be out in the streets. But every night, a group of teenagers and the Pastor Wetzel would meet for prayer in the church. And they were young, and they would gather with this elderly pastor regularly praying. And the church doors, they had five locks to secure it because there were these gangs were roaming around and race riots and everything and stealing and breaking and entering. So they had five big locks on the church doors, absolutely bolted tight shut. And one night, it was time for them to leave the prayer meeting. And they all came to the altar and they sat completely still, and then a holy hush came over them. And all of a sudden, both the doors, which were locked, flung open, and in came two amazingly incredible angels. And all of them looked up to see, and these two powerful angels came through the entrance. They were from the floor to the ceiling in height. One came in first, and like a soldier, walked through and turned and went to the right side of the church at the back. And the other soldier came in, he turned and went to the left side of the church. And they stood there silently, filling the area of the floor from floor to ceiling, the area back at the back of the church by the doors from floor to ceiling. And they stood solemnly there, and the presence of God was electric. And they were, the doors were wide open, completely open. And John Kilpatrick, being a teenager, he said, "Oh dear God, I should not be here. I'm too young for this." He was quite overwhelmed. I think they were all overwhelmed. They had prayed every night for 2 years with the pastor in the church, and they'd never seen anything like this before. Every night, these teenagers gathered with the pastor to pray. They were not sure what to do, looking at these big angels. They didn't know what to do. And he said, "When I looked back at one of the angels, I noticed no wings, no shields, no helmets. I just saw beautiful different hues of light, blues, pinks, golden, brilliant light, like an aura around the angels. And it was too bright to really pierce those that glorious light. They stood motionless for what must have been a long 5 minutes, the longest 5 minutes I'd ever experienced. We sat in silence, stunned. Nobody moved. Finally, Pastor Wetzel stood up and moved to the back of the church to close the doors. We all followed him. When we got back to the area, the angels had left. But when we got to the place where they had been, we all fell down like dominoes under the power of the Holy Spirit, unable to stand. Those doors were still open, and nobody bothered us. We were there all night. At 3 o'clock in the morning, We were as safe as anything, protected in the arms of God's holy creatures. The next thing I knew, the sun was coming in. As we awoke, we noticed the doors were still wide open, a reminder of our heavenly visitors and God's promise to watch over us and guard us through the night. The next service, as Pastor Wetzel began to speak, the whole church fell down under the power of the Holy Spirit, and many were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that was the beginning of a visit of the glory of God in that church. Isaiah 43:19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and in the desert." I believe God wants us to really seek his face. We're having these 3 days of prayer and fasting to seek the Lord, that he would really come and meet with us. We need him to come and meet with us. There's so much he wants to do in our lives, in our church, in this valley, in this town, through our fellowship, through other churches. God wants to meet with his people. He wants us to be clean and pure. He wants us to be ready to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. He wants to pour out his glory. And oh, I don't want to miss anything, do you? I want to be right in the middle of it all. It's so exciting when God begins to move. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Shall we pray? Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, that you have great things ahead for your church in these last days. Lord, the darkness is increasing. Lord, we need you. We need your glory to come. We want your glory to be seen on our faces, in our lives, that as we even go amongst the people in the valley, they will sense there's something different about that person and want to know what it is, to see your glory in our lives, to sense us carrying your presence wherever we go. Oh, Lord, do a new thing. You've promised you're going to do it. We're seeking you, Lord. We're waiting for it. We need you, Lord Jesus, to come. Oh, we want to see your glory, O God. Lord, meet with us, change us, prepare our hearts. We love you. We glorify you. Oh, God, move in our midst. Come, Lord. Come, oh, come, oh, come. Lord, we seek you. We wait for you. We thank you that you are going to do a new thing. We thank you, Lord. Your glory is going to come and fill this place and fill your church in this valley. Oh, God, we just look to you. We thank you. Give us an expectancy. Let faith arise in our hearts. Help us not to be satisfied with the status quo. Lord, that we will hunger and thirst after you, after your presence. There's nothing like your presence. That's what draws people. That's what draws people, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The glory of God is his wonderful manifest presence. It's the great solution to all of man's needs. It ministers to the hurting, the hopeless, the addictions and bondages are broken, healing and miracles flow, people are saved and discover true meaning and purpose in life. This is true revival. It's the glorious presence of the Lord. May the Lord bless you.